This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gents, we are back. Please forgive my crackly voice. It's like I'm a, it's like I'm 13 all over again, going through that pubescent stage. My voice is cracking a little bit. I got a little bit of that ick going on, but it's that time of year, right? It's that time of year. I'm progressive about things. I like to hit up the medicine before I start to feel really shitty. So I'm already on the meds. I'm on the NyQuil. I'm on the DayQuil. I'm on the Airborne. I'm on all the stuff, man. Everything. So like, I'm putting everything Molly's in my mouth. Percocet. I'm swallowing it hard, and take that for what it is. And baby, I hope to feel better soon. But it is another show, that other sports show. Find us on X at Team Toss 21. Supported by, as always, fantastic group of podcasts and people at Variety Sports Network, Variety underscore sports underscore. As we always do, it's that time of year where football's getting deep, right? We're getting close to that big playoff push. So, as you know, we don't push here at Team Toss. We will have your over-unders for Week 13. We're going to do a little guess 'em, a little pick 'em, and then we're going to get you some money, hopefully, because that's what we like to do. And then we got a UFC card coming up that is sneaky fucking fantastic with some potential firework fights. We're going to talk about that. And then we will start off the show with a little pro wrestling. Can you believe it? That's how we're going to do today. That's how we're going to do it. But without further ado, let me introduce you to the guy that holds the show up one-handed, because that's how we do things here, Mr. Jason Valdez.
What up, y'all? It's a pleasure to be back. Jesse, I love you. Happy holidays. We are fresh over getting that turkey. You might be, if you're listening to this, it's time to throw away the turkey. If you're listening to this, it's time to throw the leftovers away. They're probably about 7 to 10 days old, and there's just not much you can do to freshen them up or spice them up or lube them up. So just, it's okay. Get rid of them. It's okay to let it go, as the Disney princess says. So Jess, a few weeks back, we had our friend Jay Speck, the host, at Jay Speck, Rob Nakamura. And you know, I was listening back to the show. I was very jealous. You guys did a lot of wrestling takes. He had some unique takes, which some I actually agree with, some I don't agree with. But I got a little fired up. I thought, God damn it, Jess, I push the agenda, the narrative of we need to talk a little bit more wrestling. And the numbers don't lie. When we do talk pro wrestling, we get a little bit of a spike. And we've been trending up here recently with our listens. So why not throw a little bit more sauce on it and see if we can really spice it up and spike it in. So
We've had
an interesting, this is what we do around the holiday season. We've had an interesting last 2 weekends of pro wrestling. I was at AEW Full Gear in LA, and I won't spend a ton of time talking about it. I will say this. If you have not seen it and you're a wrestling fan, go out of your way to watch Hangman versus Swerve Strickland. Very different Texas Tornado match. I know some people have said it's the most violent Texas Tornado match they've seen. I think back to some of those Funk versus Cactus Jack matches, the barbed wire matches in Japan that were pretty gruesome. But this was bad. This was nasty. I've never seen a dude start to bleed and then his opponent slide under him and use his bleeding skull as a faucet to take that blood and then spray it out of his mouth all over the ring. That was unique. And I had a young lady sitting just to the right of me, and her expression at that moment, I don't think I'll ever forget it, because she was fucking disgusted and it was hilarious. That got me to stand up and scream. Now that's cowboy shit, but that's just me. MJF event was great. Enjoyed watching him versus Jay White get down. Just a great wrestling match. Great night of wrestling. Never a big fan of a four-hour show. So when it goes over 4 hours, you're going to get tired. The edibles are going to start beating your ass. There are no energy drinks in the forum that I could find loosely available. So long but good show. The reason I bring all this up, Jess, is during the Young Bucks match, Young Bucks were wrestling Kenny Omega and Jericho. And there were lulls in this match. You know, there were big drop-offs, if you will. Because, again, you're in that third hour of a wrestling show. The energy is going to kind of go up and down. It's going to be like a roller coaster. And it hit a down point in this match. And a guy just starts chanting CM Punk. And he got a little bit of a pulse. He got a handful of people to cheer with him. But the more interesting thing to me was there were the I would say the other 10,000 people in the arena just kind of looked at this guy like, really? We're not doing that. This isn't going down like that. You're not getting a Punk chant. And we started to get the reverse of a fuck CM Punk chant. Yeah. Which
that's
got
a classic little, move, by the way. That's which a classic got, fan move.
Got a little bit more of a pulse. I'm not the biggest fan of chanting F-bombs in a wrestling show because there's kids. You know, I'll do it. Don't y'all do it, but I'm not. You know, it's kind of one of those
when the
things,
moment hits you.
Dude, it's got to be the right moment, and you don't want this, you know, this 10-year-old and this 8-year-old and this mom that's paid a lot of money to get her kids to come watch wrestling, you know, because they like the Acclaimed or, you know, they like the Darby. You know, you just don't want to paint the wrestling for them. Because, you know, there were many a nights I've been to wrestling shows just completely under the influence of alcohol that I don't remember, that I was just obnoxious. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, wow, I was really obnoxious, and there was just a row of kids under me. What was wrong with me? So live and learn, Jess, live and learn. So we're circling around here. The reason all this is being brought to the attention is CM Punk has returned to the WWE. I watched Survivor Series. I watched majority of it. I was kind of kicking around because I think there was a good basketball game on or something. But I watched majority of it. Not the biggest fan of everything the WWE puts out, but their pay-per-views tend to be more my speed because there's less backstage segments, less Hollywood-produced stuff, and more of just the pro wrestling. So get to War Games, Jess. Match is going down. Match ends. They do that fantastic swerve where they put the logo at the bottom right of the screen, which is the, you know, which we all know from watching pro wrestling events for 20 plus years, show's over.
Yeah.
That's it. You see the copyright logo, that's it. As this is happening, I say to my buddy who's watching War Games with me, you know, they didn't need CM Punk. They had a fantastic match. They had Randy Orton come back, who was just
love Randy.
Like looks like he ate another Randy Orton. He did. He found a mini Randy Orton.
He ate the younger Randy Orton and is now he's like activated a totally different Randy Orton. I love it.
So let me go here on a Randy Orton tangent for 5 seconds, and then Jess, make sure that you hone me in if I go too far. First of all, I'm in a chat with a lot of individuals who are in their early 30s. I did not know there were so many younger Randy Orton fans. Like, that motherfucker moves the needle to where in this chat there are guys that hate the wrestling talk that were saying, well, if Randy's back, maybe I'll tune in. What night? When is he wrestling? Is he the Monday night? When is he on? Which is interesting. I didn't realize he was that much of a needle mover, but he is. Would you remember when Triple H came back in 2000, 2001 from the blown out knee?
Yes.
He comes back to Madison Square Garden and he's put on like 40 pounds of mass.
He's yoked.
He's just put on, and I might even be underestimating when I say 40 pounds. It might be like
his lats, each lat weighed 40 pounds.
Dude, it was, and his thighs, like he was just fucking, it was unbelievable. And this is the first thing I said when I saw Randy. I said, this motherfucker is meatier than ever. Like, he's put on 35, and I'm probably lowballing it, 35 pounds of mass. So I'm watching him Monday night. I'm watching him wrestle Monday night, Jess. And I hear Michael Cole go, well, you know, Randy's told us he's older now, so he's doing less heavier weight, and he's just doing more reps. And I'm thinking, you don't get that fucking big by just doing more reps, Michael Cole. You've been in the back, brother. You know what's cooking here. The fuck are we doing here? But I'm telling my buddy, as the match ends and the logo comes up on the bottom of the screen, they don't need Punk. They've got superstars. Cody is a mega star. He's like John Cena levels now. Damian Priest is a big star. The that Judgment Day, they're an enormous faction. You go to the wrestling events, you see people wearing Judgment Day shirts at the AEW events. Like, they're a big deal. The show ends, and they do the thing. The CM Punk music hits, and, you know, it's a moment. It's a fucking moment. My buddy was shitting his pants. He's an enormous CM Punk fan. So he was, like, in his feels type emotional, wow. Fired up. I just kept going, I can't fucking believe it. I just kept saying, I can't fucking believe it. They did it. They pulled it off. Son of a bitch. Jess, I've hogged this microphone for 7 minutes, so clearly my bank's kicking in. Let me get out of your way. I want to get your scratch-the-surface thoughts here on the CM Punk return.
By the way, folks, I absolutely love Bangfield J. It's an amazing time.
I just do all the work.
It's amazing.
I just do all the work on the show.
No, CM Punk returns, right? So, first of all, I want to say Randy Orton looks phenomenal, and I hope that they give him something really special, because I believe that this is probably one of the last runs he's going to have.
Agreed.
So I hope that they give him just something super phenomenal and amazing to go out, you know, with. And that doesn't even mean to me that he wins a championship. I just want to see him in just like a phenomenal matchup somewhere.
Yep. Great matches.
And he is a phenomenal wrestler. So I don't doubt that anything that he touches, it won't look good. Everything looks good. So anyway, CM Punk. CM Punk's AEW run, I felt, was super generated. Like, as in, it didn't feel as natural as a lot of other things that AEW does felt. A lot of things, even Cody's AEW stuff, felt really natural. It felt really good. It felt, you know, like it was meant to happen the way that it did. The Young Bucks, I've never been a Young Bucks fan, so watching them really for the first, you know, actual time, like on a continuous basis, was I always felt that they were very generated. They were very, like, you know, made up and kind of consumer operated type of deal, you know, like walking into a McDonald's. It's the same thing, you know, but they felt natural. The only guy that really hasn't felt good in an AEW setting was CM Punk. I know there's a few others, but we're talking about Punk. Punk, to me, will always be WWE. And being in AEW, I thought was cool. I was like, hey, man, this is a good time to kind of regroup your career and kind of figure out what you want to have happen next. But the same things happen with Punk that has happened throughout his history of wrestling. He is a little bit on the entitled side. He thinks that he's better than everybody else, such as the t-shirts say. And for Punk, I do believe that he is a fantastic, phenomenal wrestler. And his mic skills are some of the best on the planet. Mm-hmm. You don't get many promos. I mean, Punk can come out and cut a promo, like a 5-star promo, every night. Like, I guarantee you give that man a mic, you give him 10 minutes, and he will just enthrall you. Like, that's he's good. But his return to WWE, I felt, was the best thing for him, because I do believe that he's better suited for the quality of wrestling that WWE produces. And I don't mean that WWE is better than AEW. I just mean it produces different type of wrestling. AEW has its own thing. And that's what I love about having these two factions, if you will, is because AEW goes out there and does their own thing. I personally believe AEW puts on a better wrestling, professional wrestling show, and WWE puts on a better professional wrestling entertainment show, as far as storylines and all that stuff is concerned. I believe that Punk going to WWE is fantastic. I think that there's a lot of different areas and angles that they can put him in. The Seth Rollins thing, I think, pops off right at the top. And if it for you pro wrestling fans out there, you stands out there that are screaming, you know, Seth Rollins, man, he fucking hates CM Punk. He's fucking, you know what? That's a work, brother.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let I'm just going to give you that right now. It's a work, brother.
I think the Rollins thing, a few things here, but I want to start with the Rollins thing.
Give me some thoughts.
I think the Rollins thing was initially a shoot. I think he, at the moment, had a mic in his hand, had a dude that he's had a history with, and had receipts. He also had a guy interviewing him that happened to be, some think, a guy that has a connection to CM Punk. You know, maybe CM Punk shares stuff with him that he doesn't share with other writers, if you leave it there. And so he specifically knew when he called him a cancer, and he said the things he said. That was right when Punk was in the middle of getting suspended, and, you know, there was a lot of things being said. The leaks were out. So, and to circle back on what you said here, Jess, so when I think of the CM Punk return, And I do want to say this. I think the CM Punk return on AEW was a lot better than
it was a much bigger pop.
WWE. It was a bigger pop. The energy was better, and it just seemed more sincere. But he was coming from a different place. He was coming back from whatever it was, 7-8 years, no wrestling at all. Yeah. To being in his hometown of Chicago, in the stadium that Michael Jordan built, it was just it was a completely different feel. Like, there were 13,000 people there to see Punk or whatever it was, 20,000. They had that bitch filled up. And he had this incredible energy that carried him throughout a lot of stuff for the first 6 months or 9 months. And then the stuff that he was infamously known for, you know, he's brilliant, but he's difficult to work with, started to peak its head. But the other thing is the power he was given, because in order for them to get him to come back to wrestling, they had to give him a lot. They had to, I don't want to say bend over, but they had to bend a lot of things that they wouldn't give to other top tier wrestlers. And one of them was that creative power. And when you give wrestlers creative control, at some point it's usually always going to end well, because they're not always going to do what is right for business. They're going to do what they think is right for them. And that is, in my opinion, where the rubber met the road with Punk. At some point, when he's telling booking, no, I don't want to lose to John Moxley, or shit like that, It starts to get messy. At some point, you just got to do what the bookers tell you. You show up, they tell you to do this at work, you do it. That's it. But again, they gave him that creative control. They gave him that power. And, you know, it's funny because we always reference, that's not going to work for me, brother, in real life now. Like, I use that's not going to work for me, brother, all the time. But that's the line that Hulk Hogan said when they told him it's time for you to lose in WCW. No, that's not going to work for me, brother. I'm not losing to Sting tonight. Sting's actually gonna fucking lose. I'm beating him. So yeah, with the Punk thing, I look at the totality of AEW and the positives are there, right? I do the don't cry because, you know, it's over, smile because it happened. I look at his matches with Miro, and I look at his matches with Kingston, and I look at his match with the Joe match, his last match in London. Those were fucking great matches. Yeah. And he had the ability, when he wanted to just put on incredible matches, which is saying something considering he is a dude in his, you know, late 30s, early 40s, whatever.
He's a phenomenal wrestler.
He's a fuck pro. He can tell the story.
Yes.
And you look at those Max matches, those MJF matches, which some would argue propelled MJF to the next level. And those, you know, the was it a dog collar match or a chain match?
Yeah, didn't he have didn't he have a pretty solid match with Jericho while he was in AEW?
Yeah. Well, there were a handful of matches that CM Punk was in. He was in I saw him in LA with FTR, and they did a 3-way match with like Jericho and the Appreciation Society.
That was a good match too.
Lot of good shit in there. So I look at his totality of AEW and went, I wish it would have worked. However, the politics plus the contract he signed, plus at some point it clearly became his give a fucks were gone. Like he just stopped giving a fuck. And when you stop giving a fuck, that's, you know, we're really getting into the weeds here with it, but I think that he thought he was above Tony Khan. And he was on the, I deal with the big wigs at Warner Brothers or whoever the fuck writes the contracts for AEW's television. Because he was mentioning their names. He was mentioning names of like TV people and promos and shit like that. And that's like, that to me feels like you're going above your boss almost. It's like, why the fuck are you mentioning those people for? And he was saying something to the effect of, this guy calls me one bill Phil because I'm worth $1 billion. It was a bit much, but I believe the WWE ride is going to be interesting. I don't know if it's going to end well. I think optimistically speaking, it would be cool if he wrestled 2 or 3 more years, got his Hall of Fame ring, did the jobs when he needs to. And that's that. You know, when he came to AEW, he said, I'm here to help out the younger talent. And then he went on to beat every single one of them. Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs, Miro, Eddie Kingston, Hangman, Mox, you name them, Darby. He fucking beat them. He beat every one of them. So to me, in the WWE, it's got to be different. In the WWE, he's got to say, I'm cool with losing to a Damian Priest, and I realize he's not as good as a wrestler as I am, but this is where we're at. I'm cool with losing to a Seth Rollins because this is how the business is. He's been carrying this fucking company for 4 or 5 years. He's been doing the 250 nights on the road. It's just a different animal. This is how it is. I got to be comfortable with doing the jobs, but I would not be surprised. Again, optimistically speaking, I would not be surprised if this flames out in 6 to 9 months. if he realizes, the guys that fired me are still here. And although the climate may have changed a little bit, management hasn't. I think he's going to have issues with some matches. He's going to have issues with working with some people and vice versa. They're going to have issues working with him. But I think, is Punk going to be cool with doing comedy matches with Otis? Is Punk going to be cool with losing to Dom Mysterio, even if Dom is cheating to win? These are all valid questions where I wonder when, you know, again, rubber hits the road and we show up on a Monday night and they tell him, hey, heads up, you're losing to this guy tonight. If he hits that, that's not going to work for me, brother. If he takes his ball and goes home, we've seen it happen before in wrestling. Yeah. It'll be interesting here, Jess. Again, we've got – I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope in a perfect world he gets a 2-3-year run and he finishes everything with that Hall of Fame career. And maybe they give him that – lighter load schedule. You know, everybody likes to call it the Brock Lesnar schedule. I show up to the 4 or 5 big events every year. I go out to Saudi. I do a big match in Saudi. And you're not going to have me here every Monday night on Raw. You're not going to have me on SmackDown every week. But I will be here for the major events. And when I show up, you know I'm going to fucking move the needle. Just like Brock. But, Jess, I've been doing a lot of butts. Brock loses those matches. Brock's cool with doing the job in those matches. Brock's cool with showing up and losing. Same with John Cena. John Cena is one of the biggest fucking wrestlers the last 20 years. The guy just lost to Umaga. The Umaga knock. Forgot his name already.
Solo.
He lost Solo. And this guy's the knock Umaga. Like, and he lost clean to him. It's like, Punk, you got to fucking look at that and go, all right, John's doing it. Brock's doing it. I gotta be fine with looking up at the lights too.
Even the great Undertaker took a L at WrestleMania, and that was for a purpose and a reason. And, yeah. And you know what I mean? And CM Punk's biggest, his biggest thing, his biggest opponent is going to be his own ego. And that's been the way it is with CM for years and years and years. At this point in time, though, here's the scary thing. If something was to happen this 6 to 9 months down the road, him and Hunter aren't seeing eye to eye. And let's not forget who Hunter's father-in-law is, okay? That's the man who fucking gave him the fucking axe in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So, and don't you even think that Hunter is not have, he don't have strings on him. Like, they may not be as many.
Yeah.
But those strings are, they're now being dangled on Phil Brooks quite a bit right now.
He's not having dinner with his father-in-law once a week.
Yeah,
he's not dropping the kids off the kids off with grandpa and grandma.
Yeah.
Once or twice a week.
Let's not fool ourselves here.
Like, what the fuck are we? Yeah, at some point, and I understand people are going to hear this and go, Vince isn't in charge anymore. You guys sound like idiots. Dude, Vince is the godfather.
Vince is the godfather. Nothing happens without Vince's approval.
That's it. Vince is the fucking godfather, and he's gonna. It may not be this other con guy, but Trips, when he's dropping off the fucking kids because grandma and grandpa got to take him to soccer practice this week, he's running shit by the godfather. Yeah. What'd you think of Monday night? What'd you think of Friday night? Or he's looking at his phone and getting a text that says, what the fuck is that guy going over for? What is that? What happened there? What's happening there? That match 100%. Is going too long. That match is too short. That shit, get the fuck. Phil, what's happening?
Phil Brooks' ego will either win him the day or it will rue the day. But one way or the other, I feel that I'm going to lean that his ego is going to get in the way at some point in time because it just does. Phil Brooks is a phenomenal wrestler. He's a phenomenal performer. He puts himself over very well. He makes storylines pop. But he is selfish in his career because it is his career. And that's not, I don't want to blame him, right? A lot of us are in careers where we have to look out for ourselves and we can't always put other people above us because that means they might make more money than us or drive a better car than us or have a bigger house. So I'm not going to put a lot of blame and say that Phil should be looking out for the other guy. But in the wrestling business, it is a known fact that if you are that guy, if you are a John Cena-like person, if you are a Brock Lesnar, and people don't like Brock, which amazes me because he is such a phenomenal wrestler when it comes to taking the L's for another guy or whatever. But if you are on that baseline, usually the company will give you something back in heaps and bounds. So Phil needs to figure his shit out before Phil don't have a fucking job in a year because ROH, they're owned by somebody else. He can't just go back home, okay?
They won't pay him what he would demand.
100%. And
that's where we've been at the last 6 months. Yeah. Is there's really only one or two companies out there,
and now he's burned bridges. And none of them are touching him.
So here we are, and this is why when you read some of the dirt sheet stuff that's leaking, they're saying Phil's pretty fucking humble right now. Phil's pretty cool right now. We'll see. And Jess, we'll end with this. He's a needle mover.
Yeah.
Triple H understands this. The company understands this. And even if he does flame out in 6 to 9 months, they're going to make a profit off of it. And they understand they're going to get eyes to the set. People that are CM Punk fans are going to seek him out. AEW fans who fell in love with Phil that weren't too familiar with him are going to seek him out. The same way that I went, man, I never watch Raw, but Cody's over there now. Let me fucking pop it on everyone.
I'm a huge fan of the thought of when we brought both these guys up, either a Randy feud or a Seth Rollins feud. I think that one needs to be pushed back a little bit. You need to build on that a little bit. You need to give him an in-betweener, right? And I mean, I would love to see Randy get in there and mix it up with CM Punk. I think that's a classic move. They've had a bunch of classic matches, and now they're both at this stage of their career. I think it would be a good choice to be an in-betweener to fill in before the Seth Rollins stuff. But you know what? Anything can happen. I can't wait. It's gonna be entertaining.
We'll be watching. we'll be watching. Again, they win by proxy because we will be watching. We will be tuning in. We will be searching for the clips on their social media, on their WWE Twitter feed. They win. They have won. Just let's hit some fights here. I've got the fights up. After we hit the fights, we're gonna have a little fun with the lines this week, play a little guess the lines. This to me, as you mentioned, is a very interesting card. They've got Jakar Close fighting, they've got Cody Brundridge fighting, they've got Misha Tate fighting on the undercard. One of those 1 o'clock in the afternoon fights. But when I look at the main card, Jess, I see Clay Guida fighting. I saw you reaching for Clay Guida saying, yo, can you come on the show, please?
Yeah,
I like that.
Clay.
Gotta shoot our shot here, Jess. Gotta shoot our shot. I want to focus on three or four of these fights here. We won't spend too much time on them. But the three I really want to focus on, let's start here. You've got Rob Font. He's dangerous as all fuck. He's trending up. He's fighting Figgy, a favorite of ours, Davison Figueroa. Let's start here, Jess. Who you got?
I got Figgy. Figgy's coming off a phenomenal last year and even some of earlier this year, I believe. And he was on a tear. He's a phenomenal fighter. He can do it standing up. He can take you down. He can grapple you to death. He can sub. He's got so many different ways to win. The best thing about him, he's just a firecracker from the start. Like, this guy don't have his gas tank used to actually be an issue. Something that we've talked about on the show before. It doesn't seem to be an issue anymore. This guy can go for hours. Rob Font, tough as nails, dude. He can bang with the best of them. I'm not really sure if his grappling is going to be up to par. If Figgy's smart, he's going to try to grind this out a little bit more than wanting to keep it a stand-up fight. If it's a stand-up fight, the fight becomes a little bit more even. If Figgy decides to take this to the ground, grapple him out a little bit, then it's Figgy's fight to lose. I got Figueiredo by decision.
I think Font's best chance, as you mentioned here, is keeping it standing, letting Figgy get a little comfortable on his feet. He gets caught there by great strikers all the time. If you can put him down and finish him, maybe not knock him out, but just get that ref to jump in and go, up. He's hurt. We got to stop this fight. I think that's Rob's best chance. Maybe Figgy's still used to five-round fights with Moreno because that's all he's fought the past 2 years. That he's like, I forgot I'm in a three-round fight and I've lost the first two rounds. Holy shit. But I'm in agreement with everything you're saying here. I think Figgy is a lot more better on the ground. If he gets this to the ground, I don't think Font's going to have much chance of recovery. I like Figgy. Stoppage round two. I think he's going to drop Font. He's going to slap a choke on him. He's going to get a finish here. So Figgy round two, stoppage for me. Jesse, this is another barn burner here. Jalen Turner. And yes. I think Jalen Turner is in a very unique spot in his career, and I'll get back to that. He's fighting Bobby Green, who's coming fresh off of two big upsets. Jess, who you got?
So I'm a big Turner guy. I love Bobby Green, too. Don't get me wrong. Bobby Green has been amazing. His conditioning and everything has been off the charts great for a guy who's a little bit older and longer in his career in the tooth. It's like he's decided to turn things around now, like later part of his career, which is great, man. I mean, this guy's looked phenomenal as his last two or three fights. But Jalen Turner has the opportunity to become one of those stars that we keep talking about the UFC trying to build. Jalen Turner's got huge power. He's got kicks. He's got strikes. He's got a little bit of wrestling and stuff. And he's just such an exciting young man to watch fight. I want to see Jalen Turner win this fight so we can keep pushing this young man towards the spotlight, and I think that he's deserving of it. I think Bobby Green is going to push him. I think that Turner's age and youth is going to be a little bit of a factor in this, but on the positive side of things, I think he's going to be able to push the fight a little bit harder. I'm not sure if Green's conditioning, as great as it is and has been, is going to be able to keep up with a guy that much younger than him. And let's face it, man, Turner, again, like I said, has so much pop for a guy in the lightweight division, just huge pop. I'm going Turner. I think it's going to be a barn burner fight from start to finish. It's going to be a decision for JT.
God, this fight and the last one, they do have a pick 'em element to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing about Turner, and we've seen it because, again, he's so young in his career, he gets caught. He gets in these exchanges, and he can tend to get caught in the exchanges. I've also seen him hurt to his body. And Green throws nasty body hooks. I am leaning Turner. I think the younger, spryer guy should be able to have a little bit more volume, and I think the volume is going to be the difference in this fight. It feels to me like a real pick 'em fight. This could be one of those fights they fight 10 times. He can go six wins the either or way. But I'm going Turner. Not a ton of confidence in it. I think he does win via judge's decision. I think he gets two of the three rounds. I think the first round's going to be very close. And then Turner will turn up the volume here, and he'll just do a little bit better striking. But he needs to watch out. Do not get in a phone booth fight with Bobby Green. Do not. He's a taller cat. Do not pull back straight, because Bobby will catch you. If you are pulling back straight, he will catch your chin doing that shit. I like Turner. Don't love the pick. 2 out of 3 round decision. Jess, our main event. We've got the upcoming Armand Tuksurian versus one of my favorite fighters. I've discussed him so many times, and I feel bad because I feel like he was right on the cusp of that title circle, that top 2-3, and he just things happen. Benil Dariush. Dariush, the heavier favorite here, Jess. Who you got?
Yeah. Dariush deserves to be the heavy favorite. He's been in all the big fights. He's been on the cusp of, you know, perceived glory as far as the sport's concerned. I mean, he's the up-and-coming guy. Everybody likes him. He's got all the standard equipment, right? Like, he's got the striking, the kicks. He's got the grappling. He's got some takedown. He's got a little bit of wrestling. He is a pure mixed martial artist. Sarukian or Sartukian or whatever, our boy Armand, great record, hasn't beaten anybody that really jumps off the page, and that stuff always is something to take into consideration. He is a finisher, so it's not like Dariush hasn't been finished before, so it's not something that can't happen now. I just think that this time is Dariush's time to put his opponent away fast and for good. Like, try to just get rid of this guy, because you don't want a guy like Armand hanging around. I'm going to go Dariush. I think he's going to finish him. I think it's going to be a third round finish. You're going to see a back and forth fight for both the first two rounds. I think third round is when Dariush puts on a lot of the pressure, catches him with something good, maybe a kick. I'm just going to look into my magic ball and say, I'm calling for a left high kick. Catches him in the dome, drops him. He finishes him on the ground. Dariush wins. TKO.
Yeah, I think Dariush needs a big win here. I think if he really wants to keep his name in that mix, this is one of those fights where you can't let it go 4 or 5 rounds. You've got to get a definitive finish here. And I agree with you. I think his hands are heavy as hell. He's going to be able to neutralize any grappling, just because he is such a great grappler. And I think he'll be able to catch the young man. I'm going to keep butchering his name. I have Armenian friends, so I feel like I should be able to say this a lot better. But I think he will be able to catch Armand here earlier in the fight. I think he gets a knockout somewhere in the first two rounds. So go knockout Benil Dariush round two.
Sneaky good ass fight though. Sean Brady, Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yes, and I was gonna bring that one up too. Big fight for Gastelum.
Yeah.
You want to talk about fork in the road type fight? And I know he's been discussing. He might be at the tail end of his career here, but this is a potential trending up versus trending down fight for Gastelum. I hope he wins, but Brady's a tough opponent. That's a very tough fight for him.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, UFC stuff is good. I think you should definitely check out the card. It's a freebie also, so why the fuck not?
Yeah.
The next,
what the hell else is going on Saturday?
Right, come on, guys. You ain't doing nothing out on a weekend. Come on. What we got next is something we haven't done for quite some time, I don't believe. We typically would try to do this a time or two a year. What we're going to do is play the game of Jay guesses the odds. So,
yep.
I have the game. The game's up.
Thank you.
On the lines,
one game on Sunday.
Thelines.com. Thelines.com is our go-to website for all your odds, over unders, and money lines on all the games, basketball, football, baseball, everything. If you want to go to, It's got everything from Caesars Sportsbook, BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, all the way down to BetRivers, and many, many others that I've never even heard of. But if you are a sports bettor gambler,
possibly illegal.
Yeah, possibly illegal. Somewhere going on. You got some weird sports thing going on out in Russia. I don't know. But if you are that guy or gal and you love your sports betting and gambling, please go and check out thelines.com. Folks, Thursday night game. Huge game. Playoff positioning implications on the line. I think it's pretty safe to say that the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. But for the Seattle Seahawks, it's where they make the playoffs and what seed they get. So, Jay, with the spread, give me your best odds on the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so I full transparency, I saw this line. This is the only line that I saw because it's getting some juice. It's getting some juice with some of my boys. I believe it was 9.5 or 10.5. Is that correct?
We have nines across the board.
Nines, thank you very much. Okay, so I wonder if it's been bet down because I saw 9.5 earlier.
Hey man, they're trying to keep the money right so people can put some money on the Seahawks, I believe.
Dallas is at home, correct?
Yes, Dallas is at home.
Yeah, so I like Dallas. I love the points. I think that this is it's been talked a lot about a lot this past week, and that's Dallas dominating at home. They've been winning games by like 15 or 20 point spreads. They've been pretty wide margins. So Dallas seems to be rolling right now. Seattle is tough. However, Seattle is banged up. I believe their running back is out. I believe Geno Smith is still hurt. We talked about this last week. Didn't look great at all in his game. And now he's got another quick turnaround. So I don't like the Seahawks at all. I think this could get away from them quickly. I love Dallas. I love the points.
Yeah, I like Dallas and the points too. Dallas is at home. They're coming off some big wins. Dak is looking right now in possibly the best form he's looked all season. The team looks locked and loaded, and the fact that they're using CeeDee Lamb as their primary target in the receiving game is exactly what probably every Dallas Cowboy fan has been screaming for the past 2-3 years now that CeeDee's been in the league. Throw to CeeDee, he will catch it. They're doing that. They're winning big games. Seattle's hurt. They're dealing with injuries. Even if Geno does play, and I'm not saying that he won't, he's a warrior kind of guy. He likes to play through stuff. He's not playing at 100%. And if Geno's not playing at 100%, you might as well say he's playing at 35% because he's just not a top-notch type quarterback, right?
So. And no Kenneth Walker, so they're running Charbonnet again. And he's starting to look more like a second-string back.
Charbonnet is he was a smart pick in the draft, but he's not a starting guy. So I got Dallas at home. Take the points.
All right, let's get spicy now, Jeff.
All right, man.
The bad games, we're going to rip through them.
We are going to run through a bunch of these games because this
they're all shitty?
Week 13, there's a bunch of shitty football games. Well, not shitty. There's games.
At the very end, can we do Bills Corner, even though the Bills aren't playing?
Yeah, we'll do a little Bills just because
at the very end.
But luckily for the end is when the sexy games are, so we'll run all through right. Some of these games first.
We'll get one then.
Next up online is a 10 a.m. game. It is the Arizona Cardinals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jay?
Okay.
What do you think?
The line on this, Arizona stinks, but they've been playing better. Pittsburgh's still weird. Pittsburgh at home. I'm going to say 6.
5.5 across the board. Damn, my boy Jay, look at that.
I'm starting hot.
You're starting hot.
So, listen, where I was wrong, and shout out Mikael Young, who made it a point to call me out for being wrong on the Buffalo Bills defense this week. I said Buffalo Bills defense has been kind of mid-tier the past 2 years, and he was like, no, they've actually been really great statistically. So shout out to him for holding me accountable. This is where I once again am being held accountable. I said I did not like Tomlin this year. I thought that he was going to go below 500. I don't think that's happening now. We're a little bit too close to the finish line for me to keep standing on that business. I like the Steelers here. Arizona stinks. 6 points seems kind of high because Pittsburgh can't score. So I like Pittsburgh to win. I like Arizona to cover.
Yeah, the firing of Matt Canada. Sorry, Mr. Canada. You're gone, buddy. I think that's kind of started a semi-revival in the offense. Not in the way of, like, them scoring 30 points a game, but just the offense going to the right people and Kenny Pickett trying to make the right reads. I like Pittsburgh. Arizona's got Kyler, but even with Kyler, he's still kind of playing Superman alone on that team. He's kind of doing everything. That's never a good thing. He's already got banged up a little bit last week. I foresee bad things to happen until the Cardinals can put some talent around Kyler Murray. I like Pittsburgh at home. I like the points. I don't love them, but I'll take them.
Next game.
The Atlanta Falcons travel to the Meadowlands to face the New York, or should I say New Jersey Jets. Jets are at home. Atlanta's not doing shit. Jay, what do you think the spread is?
Jets at home, but they can't score. Atlanta weird. Ritter looked bad last week. So God damn, I'm just very upset about that. This is going to be a weird spread. I'm going to say 4.
For the Jets?
The Jets, of course. Oh, maybe. Oh, shit. You know what? God damn, I'm sick of thinking of myself. I'm going to stick with it. Give me the spread.
All right. So we have a spread of anywhere from 2.5 to 3 points.
For Atlanta or for the Jets?
For the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
They are the favorite team.
Wow. Yeah. I blew one. So yeah. Listen, one I nailed, one I blew.
Hey, I don't blame you, man. Ritter, I still hate Ritter Atlanta. Did not look good last week after being implemented back as a starting quarterback. He did not look good.
Yeah, I hate Atlanta. I don't they gotta fire that fuck coach. You can't play quarterback shuffle all year. It's just all bad. Bijan's been a bit of an upset, and their defense is mid as fuck. This feels like an absolute 13-7 type game. Jets are sneaky. Jets win at home. So I like the Jets to win in an upset.
I agree with you, actually. I'm going to take the Jets, and I'll give you the upset in points because I don't like anything that the Falcons do. Even last week, the Falcons still lose, but Bijan Robinson has probably his best statistical game of the year. He has 91 yards rushing, 32 yards receiving, scored a touchdown. That's the type of game that you want Bijan to have every single game. He's not going to be a 125-yard rusher per game. He's going to get you 80 to 90 yards rushing. He's going to get you 20 to 30 yards receiving. That's the game you want him to have. But until they can do something about the quarterback situation, and I think that obviously starts at the top, I can't do anything with the Atlanta Falcons. I like the Jets at home. Next game. Yeah. This game, actually, I'm going to leave this game because this game, Denver-Houston, I'm going to leave it because it is now an official sexy game. We're going to move to Detroit on the road in New Orleans. Oh. Jason, this is a toughie, man. What are you thinking?
Okay, so my first instinct is New Orleans has been kind of stinky, but they stick around in games, and the Lions have been up and down on the road. I'm going to give the Lions 3.
The Detroit Lions across the board range from a 4-point favorite to a 4.5 favorite, but four is where I'll stick it. So you're in the range, man.
I'm not. Anytime I'm a half a point to a
you're
point
you're right
away,
there, buddy.
I feel like that's a win. It's not a bullseye, but it's close enough. All right, man. New Orleans is going to keep this close. Their defense is going to do what they do. You know what I noticed here is New Orleans really has been running a lot of extravagant plays. They've been incorporating Taysom Hill a little bit more. I like the Lions. I know they've been inconsistent the last few weeks. I know our boy Dan Campbell is getting a little bit pinata for some of the decisions he's made. They just made us all look like dumbasses on Thursday night. That was like the coming out party. Lions finally don't suck by Thanksgiving, and then they just fucking urinate all over themselves. And that's what that was. That wasn't like the Packers showed up and just beat their brakes off. That was Lions urinated. With that said, I think the Lions figure it out. I think they straighten the car here. I think they get back on the road and straighten that wheel out. And I like the Lions. You said 4?
4.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a tough one. We don't push. I'll take the Lions by a touchdown, but I don't love it.
I'm going to, again, agree with you. We're not doing this on purpose, folks. We actually do disagree on several different games every week. So this is just one of those weeks. I agree with you now, Jason. The Detroit Lions are – this is going to be a semi-bounce-back game. I know Thanksgiving did not go their way. They had a pretty darn good second half of that game. But when you're already down that many points – which to a team that you should never have been down to in the first place, it was a definite urination party in Detroit on Thanksgiving. This is different. The New Orleans Saints have a good defense. They will be able to hang around because of their defensive presence, but their offense hasn't really been able to formulate an identity. And that's been something we've talked about many times about many teams over this season, finding your identity. The Saints have not been able to do that. Derek Carr, I don't think, is the solution to that problem, but that's a totally different thing. I like the Lions on the road, and I'll take the points.
Next game.
Next game, baby. The Indianapolis Colts. Fired Frank Reich. Everything's gone to pot. The Indianapolis Colts are on the road against the Tennessee Titans. Titans, I don't know who they are this season. Are they a run team, a pass team? I don't know. But Billy James this is the quarterback.
This is a three and a strong. I feel so confident on this one. Strong 3.5 across the board for the Titans.
For the Titans. You would be wrong, sir, because the Indianapolis Colts.
What?
This is where Vegas has me twisted around in circles. The Indianapolis Colts are 1 to 1.5 point favorites on the road. What?
Fired their coach.
They just fired their head coach.
Minshew Mania is starting.
Forgive me. My statistics are wrong. Frank Reich got fired from the Carolina Panthers. But yeah, he did also get fired from the Indianapolis Colts. That's where I was.
Yeah, we're just going to say he got fired anyway.
Frank Reich gets fired mid-season for the last 2 years in a row. It's crazy. Anyway, the Indianapolis Colts, they've got no starting quarterback. They got Minshew Mania running wild. Jonathan Taylor is also hurt, by the way, with a thumb injury and potentially will not play and somehow still managed to be one-point favorites. Jason, give me a winner.
Dude, in division game, I'm going to go and upset again, even though this is basically a pickup if it's 1.5. Tennessee wins, Tennessee covers. This is a battle of two bad quarterbacks. My boy Billy Jean is not my lover. Again, the tape's out there. So he is regressing a little bit, but he's still got Diop. He's still got weapons. This is a 17-13 win for the Tennessee Titans.
What? Fuck it, man. I'm agreeing with you again. The Colts without Jonathan Taylor is a totally different team. I know that Zach Moss did well in his absence at the beginning of the season, but Zach Moss is not Jonathan Taylor. Minshew Mania relies solely on the fact is that if he's hot, he's hot. If he's cold, he is a shitty-ass quarterback. I'm going Tennessee. Billy Jeans is going to give it up to D-Hop at least 12 passes. D-Hop catches 8 of those for 106 yards and a touchdown. I'm going Tennessee. I'll give you the points, too. Next game, baby. This should normally, in a normal year, back in, like, I don't know, say 2012 to 2015, this game would have been as sexy as hell. But it is 2023, and the L.A. Chargers suck, and the New England Patriots suck. And I told you last week that the Patriots would lose, and they fucking did. So thumbs up to me for making that pick.
Called it.
Jason. Chargers on the road in New England. It's going to be cold as hell. What do you think the points are going
to
be?
Dude, this is an impossible game to pick. Okay, L.A. traveling west to New England. But, God, New England stinks. I'm going to say the Chargers are a 2-point favorite on the road.
You are right about them being favored. But the point total, get this, brother.
You got to be kidding me.
It is +6 or positive or -6. They're 6-point favorites.
Wow. 4 points off. Wow.
6-point favorites on the road.
Okay. So let me say this. The Rams are it's the Chargers.
Chargers, right? Yeah.
Chargers are in a lot of close games. I've been saying this. They shouldn't have fired their coach. I'll continue to stand on that. Now everyone's saying it, so it's not as sexy as when I was saying it fucking a year ago this time. But, yeah, this is going to be – they just have a more talented team. So, just on the talent alone, they should win by a touchdown. But, man, weird things happen in New England in December, and this might be a really, really cold game. And West traveling to East. I say the Rams – I'm sorry, the Chargers win and the Patriots cover. I think this is a 3-point win, 4-point win. By the Chargers, so I'm going to go Chargers win, Patriots cover.
I really, really, really want to pick the Patriots for some reason.
I don't do because the Chargers suck. That's why.
The Chargers have this way of just losing close games.
Dude, yes.
I mean, oh, my gosh. I really want to pick the Patriots. I hate the Patriots, too, by the way. And anybody who knows me, I'm a Bills fan, so I hate the Patriots. But I'm going Chargers. Chargers have the better quarterback. They have the better offense. And in all they have the honesty, better defense. Their defense has been upticking in the last few games, even though they've not managed to turn those games into wins. I'm taking Justin Herbert on the road. I'm taking the points reluctantly. But you know what?
Wow.
I think it's 7-9 point win by the Chargers.
Wow. I love it. Have you heard the rumor of Chargers fire their coach and Belichick takes that job?
Do it.
You would do that if you're Belichick?
I would do it. Why not? I agree. You had Tom Brady for 20-some years. You won fucking 7 championships or something like that. 6 championships. And then you walk into a place like L.A. where it's nice and warm and your fat body doesn't need to wear the hoodie all the time anymore. Maybe you can get some fresh air. And the women look beautiful. And now you got a young stud quarterback like Justin Herbert. Hell yeah, take that job.
You get the fuck out of the East Coast. You go to beautiful Hollywood. You buy a beautiful home somewhere fucking in the hills, probably living next to the Kardashians. Your smoking hot wife, who's like 25 years younger than you, is going to be happy because she's in L.A. and do whatever the fuck she wants. Oh, you just happen to get Justin Herbert. Get the fuck out of here.
That's a job. That's a no-brainer.
You take that job in a fucking heartbeat. Okay, next game.
This game isn't sexy at all, even though it's got one of the sexiest teams in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins travel from Miami to Washington to face the Commanders.
Okay, this is going to be a big spread. I'm going to say this is the biggest spread. Oh, wow. All right, so we got to go double digits. I'm going to go 12. Miami plus 12.
The spread is actually Miami for Miami, but it's 9.5. 9.5.
Oh, really?
It is the biggest spread on paper, on the lines.
I guess
it's the biggest spread.
I was thinking Dallas is 9, so I was thinking this would be 10 or 11. Wow.
So with that being said, 9.5 point spread across the board at home or on the road.
Yeah. Miami wins easily. They cover. They win by like 14, I think. Washington is in a world of trouble and possibly 3-2-1 Cancun. And I feel bad for Coach Rivera.
Ron Rivera's getting the axe. Eric Bieniemy is going to be the head coach next year, the Washington Commanders.
Dude, we did this take, by the way, last year when we said they hired Bieniemy. We said that he might be replacing Rivera.
Why would you not make that hire? If you don't hire Eric Bieniemy, one of possibly still the top offensive minds in the league, you don't hire him as the OC just to come sit on the bench behind Ron Rivera's ass. Like Ron Rivera,
my theory why Leftwich doesn't have a job.
Rivera is a terrific guy. He's a terrific head coach, but I just think he's beyond that point. Like the game has changed. It's evolved. It's beyond Rivera. I think that there needs to be change. You have Eric Bieniemy right there. You don't even need to do anything. You just promote him. It's a perfect storm.
Yeah, and then with the whole new ownership there and all that shit.
And the fact that, look at Eric Bieniemy's offense has taken Sam Howell, who I didn't even think should be a starter in this league. He leads the NFL in fucking passing yards right now.
Dumb proficient, and when you look at his next level stats, they're really, really good. But Washington has good receivers that people don't talk about.
Scary Terry, baby. I love Scary Terry. They do need to fix the running game. They need to fix the running game.
They got the other kid on the other side, too. They've got 3 good receivers there, and they're all young. So, all right, Jess, so you and I are in agreement.
Miami wins. Take the points. They win by at least 2 touchdowns, I'm telling you right now.
Give me the next game.
Next game, ugly as sin, Carolina Panthers on the road to face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We can confirm they fired their coaches.
Yes. Frank Reich has now been fired from both those teams. We just did on the show that he is officially fired from the Carolina Panthers.
And if he takes another job, we're going to fire him.
We're going to fire him from that team, too.
Fire motherfuckers out of here. Okay. Carolina on the road absolutely stinks. The Bucs have been okay. I'm going to go strong 6. 6-point favorites at home for Tampa.
That's a beautiful pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 5.5 across the board, so I'll give you that half point. That's beautiful, my friend. How's the game play out?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel that, I don't want to say big win because the 6 feels about right. Tampa Bay is weird. Carolina will stick around. They've stuck around in a handful of games this year. South on South crime. I'm going to go Tampa by a touchdown. I like Tampa. I like the points.
I'm going to agree with you on Tampa Bay. I don't like the points. I think Tampa Bay wins by three. I think Carolina hangs in tight. The defense is still playing semi-inspired football. Bryce Young, he may not have been the best choice at quarterback, seeing how C.J. Stroud has performed and some of these other rookie quarterbacks have performed.
I just hate doing that, though, Dylan. But I hate doing that.
I know. But I like Bryce. I think he's a good young man. I think he does have
he's got
upside to him still. And it's his fucking rookie year in which he's playing for the Carolina Panthers. They have absolutely nothing on that team outside of 47-year-old Adam Thielen catching passes.
Did you notice last week you take him out of the game, they can't score shit?
Yeah.
Like, they took him out of the game and they were just he struggled.
Yeah, and that's another problem with having a rookie quarterback who's just learning the league. Sometimes you look for that one guy who just makes the plays. Adam Thielen's been the guy for him. So he will look to Thielen time after time, play after play. If Thielen has to sit, because like I said, the guy's like Methuselah, man. Like, he's old as shit. He's got to take a breather. When he's out of the game, he don't know where to go with the football, and it causes problems. In this game, I got Tampa Bay. Like I said, I don't like the points. So I'm going to take I'm taking Tampa Bay, though.
Next game.
We're going to scroll back up because we're at some sexy games now.
Back to the sexy games.
The Denver Broncos are on a 5-game winning streak. Fuck you, Sean Payton, making me look like shit.
Really did.
Gosh, damn it.
Made you eat the words. He's playing this podcast in the stadium during the practice, and just you're motivating 52 dudes.
I'm motivating all these players to just go and win football games. 5-game winning streak. Russ is out there doing sort of Russ things. They're looking good. The offense is moving the ball. But they are on the road to probably the sexiest team. Honestly, they are probably the sexiest team in football because they're the most talked about team in football right now. C.J. Stroud's Houston Texans. I love the storyline of the Houston Texans. Shout out to our boy Justin Von Doom. Follow him on X at Justin Von Doom. Jason, where is this game stand?
Shout out to Justin Von Doom, whose playlist, which is entitled, I believe it's entitled Super Cool Shit for Jay to Get Swole On, made number 5. It made the number 5 on my Apple replay 2023. It's very impressive. This is kind of a tough one, isn't it?
It is.
It's a little bit of a tough one. So one more time here. Texans on the road.
No, Texans at home.
At home. Denver
is on the road.
Man, this is the hardest one of the day.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to go Texans 2 at home. Well, favored by 2.
You are right that they are favored. The favor actually is 3.5, and that is across the board. I think it's a big spread.
Well, 3.5 feels about right.
I feel like it should have been a solid 3. I feel like 3.5 is a bit much. I think they're trying to play on people's money right now.
Fucking with everybody's money. Vegas is up to their old tricks. Okay.
That's what they do.
Dude, this feels to me like sneaky Denver win. Just veteran team out coaches and out plays a young coach and a young quarterback, and they sneak out of Dodge with a win. I like Denver upset. I think this is something like 17-13 Denver.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to once again, I think we've only disagreed on a couple of different things today, but today I'm going to agree with you. I think the Denver Broncos go on the road. Stupid Sean Payton trying to make me look bad. He's going
to
do it again this week.
That you pick Denver.
Sean Payton he's showing his true colors right now. He's definitely turned things around. He's got players going where they're supposed to go. Russell Wilson is somehow on track right now. And I think the biggest thing that they have going is they've gone away from the dual-headed running back system, and they've just said, Javonte Williams, you are the running back. You are RB1. Go out there and play RB1. He's been doing it very well. He's been performing at a pretty high rate as far as most running backs in this league. He's doing very well. I like Denver and Russell Wilson. I think this is something like a 23-17 win, something like that. I like the points, though, so give me Denver in the points. All right.
Next sexy game.
Next sexy game. Oh my gosh, I actually missed out a really ugly game. I'm sorry. So we're going to do
Shoot it out. I'll
ugly right game. Out. The Cleveland Browns on the road versus the LA Knights. I mean, Rams.
Our boy PJ Walker, I believe he's back in the saddle.
The XFL legend, baby. He's returned.
I feel so. Is Myles Garrett playing in this game?
I believe so, yes. Myles Garrett had a mild injury or something was going on.
I think that's an enormous deal. I think if Myles Garrett plays.
Is Aaron Donald toast? Is he just toast?
No, the Rams were just weird this year. Yeah. No, the Rams were just weird this year. I think that. Okay, so spread for this game, Cleveland traveling to LA. I'm going to give LA. I keep going low on these spreads. But I'm gonna give LA 2. I think LA is a +2 at home.
LA is actually a 3.5 across the board. But I mean, you have at least the spread, correct as far as like who's getting it. So who wins this game though? That's the biggest question. The spread is tough because you know you never know what team's gonna show up. But the biggest question is what team's gonna show up and fucking win.
I think that it's. I'm going to simplify it to this: if Garrett plays, the Browns find a way to win. If Garrett doesn't play, then the Rams find a way to win. I think the first to 17 wins this game, if anyone can even get to 17. I feel bad for the Browns because I feel like they've just had such a weird year, but their defense is so fucking talented. That I hate the idea of them missing the playoffs because I love great defenses in the playoffs. I think they're always good for an upset or three. I'm assuming Garrett plays, so I am going Browns. Who you got?
I'm going to disagree with you for one of the very few times this week. I think the Rams at home. I believe that they're healthy, about as healthy as they can possibly be for the season. Sean McVay has turned this season around a tad bit. And the drafting of Puka Nacau, the wide receiver out of where the fuck he come from, Utah or some shit like that.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He's been a stud all year. And I know that it's an offensive-driven league, so it's easy to be, you know, a stat filler. But Puka has really showed that he's got skills at the wide receiver position. I like the Rams at home. I like the points. I think they win by at least a touchdown.
Now, give my next game.
All right. Two sexy games in a row.
Are these the last games?
No, we got three games. Three games, right, man. We got to burn through a couple of them. This game, I'm going to leave till the end. That's going to be San Francisco Philly. I'm going to leave that one till the end. Let's go. KC on the road versus the Packers. I think this is a sexy game because.
KC on the road?
On the road.
Ten point spread. God, you know, wait. So you already tipped your hat, though. You said that there was the okay. So not the highest spread. Yeah, this isn't a 10. Green Bay sucks. Okay, give me 7.5.
All right. Patrick Mahomes' first trip to Lambeau Field, by the way. Never been there.
I don't think that's not moving my 7.5. No. What's the spread?
The spread is 6. 6 across the board. 6 God. Points. 6 points. 6 points everywhere. Jason, how is this game end?
Green Bay's defense isn't great. They had a great turnaround game where the Lions urinated on themselves, as mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
This is. I know that the KC's been in a little bit of a offensive rut because they're not putting up 40 points a week. So when they don't put up 40 points a week, we're like, something's wrong. But no, they clearly have issues at receiver. They're never going to have an elite receiver, or not this season at least. And their best receiver on his best Sunday is like a B+ dude. They rely a ton on Kelsey. I mean, that's no fucking secret. I like Kansas City and I love the points. I think they win by 10. I think that Green Bay game was a fucking, one hit wonder. And, they're going to go back to stinking. And, I think Kansas City rolls. I think this is something like 2010, 23-10 Kansas City.
Yeah. I'm jumping on your bandwagon there, brother. KC rolls in Green Bay. Jordan Love had a good game against the Lions, which was surprising because that Detroit defense is tough. I figured that they would have gave Love fits all day.
Can I say this though, Jess? Can I say this? It's easy to look good when you're playing with a 10-point, 17-point lead.
That's true. That's a good point.
14 fucking weeks to find Christian Watson.
Jordan Love has had 3 or 4 really good, solid football games, and those are the games that the Packers have won, obviously. And then the other games that they've lost, he's looked terrible. The biggest thing for me is Kansas City's defense, they look phenomenal this year. Their defense, I believe that they're fully underrated this year. I think that people are not giving them enough credit for what they do on the field. Trent McDuffie has turned into one of the league's best cornerbacks. Chris Jones is out there just run stuffing every motherfucker that comes up his lane. I mean,
might be defensive player of the year.
I like the Chiefs. I like the points. I just think it's sexy because it's Patrick Mahomes in Lambeau Field. So
throw me another game.
All right, last game of the Sunday that we'll go over. San Francisco 49ers.
Can we do the Monday game?
Yeah, let's do the Monday game. We'll leave that because that's like the sexiest game of the Monday.
There's so much meat on that bone.
All right. Monday night, folks. Monday night. Here we are. The Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals travel to Trevor Lawrence Town to play the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Traveling to Jacksonville, even though they haven't played well at home, this feels like an easy 5-point spread. Give me the Jags on the 5.
8 to 8.5. And 8.5 is actually like pretty much what we would average. It is like just about 8.5.
I'm rusty this year, ladies and gentlemen. I've had more misses than I've had hits.
I'm surprised you didn't give him higher because I know that you are very high on
I'm big on the Jags, but I'm also big on the Bengals. Still have a pulse with that defense and their running game, and that kid isn't terrible. I've seen him in spots where he looks serviceable.
He's not terrible, but he's not Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Fuck, who is? It's like two guys in the league that might be him. I like the Jags. I like man. You said
8.5. Can you take 8.5?
That's high. No, you know what? I like the Jags. And I'm going to take the points, and this is reluctantly because I can see a backdoor cover where Cincinnati scores late, and it's like 20-27 Jags. But I don't know if Cincinnati can score 20 points now that I think about it. They got to have that big Jamar Chase shows up game and just Jags defensive backs fall on their ass, and he just eats. I like the Jags. I don't like the points. Who you got?
I am in full agreement with you. I like the Jags and I don't like the points at all. I don't like the points because the Jacksonville Jaguars defense has not shown me enough that they are a good or even close to being their average defense at best. And Joe Mixon just has to have a little bit better of a game than he's had. Jake Browning just has to distribute the football.
Just don't turn the ball over.
I think this game ends up being something like 20-17, something along those lines. It's going to be low scoring. The Jags offense doesn't push the needle as much as people like to.
Yeah, they don't blow the doors off.
But I like Jacksonville at home. I just don't like the points. All right, folks, we are now at the biggest game of the week, possibly the biggest game of the season as far as looking at where both teams are and what it means to both teams. The San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy, they are traveling to the Philadelphia Eagles, the city of brotherly love, and taking on Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is going to blend into the Buffalo Bills Mafia corner take, but – how the fuck do the Eagles get out of that game with the win? God.
I don't even know. I'm still baffled.
I can't believe it.
I'm still baffled.
Okay, so I say it every week. The Eagles look beatable on several occasions, and they just find ways to win. This might be the Eagles' game. We're not going to be like last year where they're just beating opponents by 20 points every week, and they're creating 5 turnovers, and Jalen Hurts is throwing for fucking 400 yards. That's not happening this year. They're in a lot of games that are close that they just have enough to win. And that's impressive as fuck because that's what the league comes down to sometimes. You got enough to inch over for that win. Man, San Francisco on the road. Okay. Man, I want to move.
Philly, I'm so flustered by this game.
I got to respect the 3. So I'm going to go Philly 3.5 at home.
All right. 3, there's some 3s, there's some 2.5. It's about average. Really don't know, but it's actually for the San Francisco 49ers.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not joking.
Wow. Holy shit.
San Francisco 49ers, half the betting sides say 2.5, the other half say 3. On the road in Philly, who just beat the Buffalo Bills. Huge comeback. The San Francisco 49ers are my jaw's on the floor right now. 2.5 to 3 point favorites.
Of every spread everywhere, we've been this week, that's the one that shocks me the most.
I am too. Like you said, this seems like the Philadelphia thing, right? Like they just beat the Bills. They've had a couple big comeback games that beforehand, and they're at home. Like at most home teams, if you're a good team versus another good team, they usually give you a 1 to 3 point spread just because.
Vegas is on drugs.
This
had to have started as a 3.5, and then everyone in Philly came in with all their money, and it came down to a 2.5. That's crazy. All right. Well, I'll tell you right now, Jess, I like the Eagles, and I don't think it's an upset, but I mean, this is a pick'em game. These are the two elite teams in the NFC, and I won't argue that Dallas deserves to be in that mix. San Francisco, outside of their hiccup games that they've lost, has looked really good. And they just fucking steamrolled Seattle. They looked incredible on all three sides of the ball. Like, it's okay, so I understand why some people would I guess the Vegas Sharks like San Francisco, but okay, and if we're gonna go, well, you can't take the playoff game and Trenton, you know, and say, well, look at the playoff game, because Purdy got hurt in the fucking first five snaps. Yeah. So we're assuming Purdy's going to stay upright this game. Philly's defense is still really good. Man, all right. I like Philly. I think this is going to be a 3-4 point win by Philly. And this is going to be a game where the Niners probably have the lead in the third quarter. This is going to be something like – it might be 2017 going into the third quarter. And then Jalen just turns it on, and they find a way to sneak out with a 3-4 point win. Jess and I, we haven't done it all game, or we haven't done it all show, so we can definitely use it for this game. This might be whoever has the ball last with 2 minutes left in the game. It might come down to one of the – this is going to be one of those games. I would be shocked if I see a 10-13 point blowout on either side, because these two teams are really fucking competitive. I like Philly in an upset, even though I don't think it's an upset because they're at home. Who you got?
I don't think if the Eagles win, I wouldn't consider it an upset at all, but I am going with the San Francisco 49ers. I like Brock Purdy when he's got all of his weapons and tools. He's a he was last year. He's confident. He's got swag. You can see it's different when Debo's missing or CMC's missing or IX missing. It's different. Like, the swag is a little less. He's a little bit more confused. He's looking around the field a little bit more.
Yeah, and defenses can hone in more on those studs. But if you're missing one out of your three studs, well, now we only got to hone in on two.
Yes.
And there's less opportunities there.
Brock Purdy is not mobile like Josh Allen. Josh Allen evaded a lot of defensive pressures that the Eagles would have gotten to any other quarterback with, right? Brock Purdy's not Josh. But the thing that Brock Purdy does that Josh Allen, I wish he would learn how to do, is quickly read and scan and get rid of the ball. Josh typically holds on the ball a little bit too long, and then that's why he ends up running with the ball, because he doesn't make those reads as quick. Brock Purdy's fast, man. His mind works. It's a little bit like a machine. I mean, he's very quick with his thoughts and reads, and he can do that because of the weapons that he has. The Eagles' defense is still elite. I just think that they've been exposed quite a little bit this year. They've been exposed a little bit this year. Jalen Carter, I believe, is the defensive rookie of the year. I think Darius Slay is a step behind as far as his skill set. I think that he's aging a little bit, and he's a little step behind. I think last game proved that. Stephon Diggs beat him quite a few times on the field. Gabe Davis beat him a couple times on the field. What it's going to come down to is, can the Eagles pressure Purdy? And I just think that Trent Williams right now, even at the age he is, Trent Williams is the biggest bully of an offensive lineman I've seen in quite some time. That this man is a monster on the field. He's keeping line clean. Purdy's not been put down very often, and everybody's healthy. I like San Francisco, and I like the points.
All right, Jess, we've made it. It is the end of the show, but I just need 2-3 minutes worth of Bills Mafia Corner here, because we got to give the people what they want. Just an interesting game against Philly. I was shocked by the way it ended here. I'm seeing a lot of Josh Allen. I don't even know if defenders is the right word, but defending. And I mean, at the end of the day, you can't say that he lost that game, although there were some interesting play calls, I guess you'd call them. Give me some thoughts on that game, and give me some thoughts on where Buffalo stands as we're basically two-thirds through the season. And they, yeah, and they could possibly be on the outside looking in here, like realistically.
They are on the outside looking in. I think that this is a team that's been decimated by just their own selves. Like, they've gotten in their own way. Like, Jay, you and I talk about it all the time. Good teams win games as they're supposed to win. And great teams find ways to win games that they're not supposed to win. That's, I mean, we're talking about the Eagles and Niners, right? Like, one of these teams are going to find a way to win, and we're going to figure out who the better team really is. Like, that's just the way it is. It's not going to be by luck. One team will beat the other team because they're both that good. The Buffalo Bills, they're on the outside looking in. I would like to think that they can make some magical 2008 Seattle Seahawks run and, you know, get to the wild card and push through and go win a fucking Super Bowl as a wild card team. But I realistically, and that's where I am most of the time in my life. Don't worry, I do get outside of my own lines quite a few times. But realistically, I don't think the Buffalo Bills even make the playoffs.
Wow.
And their end of the schedule end of the year schedule is brutal. They have a bye week, so they get a week to lick their wounds and get a little healthy.
But then
they got to go and play the Kansas City Chiefs. And don't get me wrong, the Chiefs are beatable this year, right? Like, we've seen that. Oh, you know, like, the Chiefs had not looked like the Chiefs.
They have a puncher's chance in every game they have moving forward.
But I would still take the Chiefs in that game. It's on the road in Arrowhead.
They've got Dallas after that.
It is a tough place to win. I believe they play the Cowboys the week after. I believe that's in Jerry's house.
That is.
So that's a game that, I mean, I don't want to see Micah Parsons chasing Josh Allen. I mean, that scares the
death. Yeah, there is no chasing. He just picks him up and body slams. Yeah, he's faster than him.
He is. Micah Parsons is easily probably one of the quickest.
Faster than everybody.
Yeah, he's faster than everybody. Yeah. And the level that the Cowboys are playing right now is above what the Bills are playing. It's just simple fact. The Eagles game count came down to a couple things. Bills fans, myself included, I will argue to the death that there were some really bad no calls in that game that went the Eagles' direction. I think that people will look at that game, and if you're not an Eagles fan, you'll be like, yeah, there were some bad calls that should have been called that went Buffalo's, or that went the Eagles' way and not Buffalo's way. The interception Josh Allen did have, it was his fault. He was trying to thread that needle between two guys, deep ball down the right side of the field. And it just didn't work out, right? Got picked. Okay, so now we talk about Josh Allen and his interceptions. Well, guess what? Josh Allen didn't fumble. He didn't throw any other interceptions the rest of that game. And yes, he tried to thread that needle a little bit, and it didn't work out. But again, Josh Allen's a cowboy. Joe Brady is allowing him to play a little more cowboy of a role. And we're seeing the offense, the uptick in the offense has been, like, absolutely phenomenal as far as numbers are concerned. Whereas where Dorsey was to where Brady is. The run game never really got off the bat. We see Josh Allen led the Buffalo Bills in rushing with 81 yards. That's never a good sign when your quarterback is throwing for over 400 yards and then rushing for over 80 yards. It's just not a good thing. But it's what happens when Josh Allen is being let to be Josh Allen. Deciding factors is coaching. Second half, you're up 10 points at halftime in a very hostile environment. And Sean McDermott kind of did what Sean McDermott does. He gets very cautious with the defensive play calls. He lets off the pressure. He starts asking the safeties to play out a little bit more. He's basically asking the defense to make a play. Go out there, get the ball back. But that doesn't always happen, man. Sometimes you have to play four downs deep and then just hope that you get a stop. And that's not how McDermott's second half defense runs. I believe that the collapse of the defense was, A, they gave it all they had in the first half. And the second half came and they were a little bit exhausted, a little bit tired. It's cold, it's wet. There were some play calls that didn't go their way. I don't think that Josh Allen had anything to do with that loss. So I have seen a lot of people both go at Josh Allen and defend Josh Allen. For those people like Dan Orlovsky out there defending Josh Allen, I thank you for doing that, because this game, he deserves to be defended. This was not a Josh Allen blew this game. Josh Allen threw, he picked up almost 500 yards of offense by himself, and he accounted for 4 touchdowns, 2 through the air, 2 on the ground. That's a lot for one man. So for people defending Josh, thank you. He deserves to be defended this week. He does not deserve to be defended. I think Sean McDermott deserves to be stripped of head coach and relieved of duties as of this week. It's not going to happen. I do think that the Bills will sit down and discuss coaching situations at the end of the season. This is what I would like to see happen. I don't know if Brady is ready for a head coach yet. But you know who is? Jim motherfucking Harbaugh.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's time. This is another Mikhail Young take, by the way. Shout out. He's getting 2 shout-outs.
He is. 2 shout-outs for Mikhail. By the way, I love this guy, Mikhail Young. Dude, please listen to the show and hear the love you're getting right now.
So let me say this about Harbaugh. And we're going to hit the wrap-it-up button after this, after our shout-outs. Why the fuck? This is my belief on Harbaugh, if I haven't shared it on the show. I don't think he's leaving Michigan. I think he's doubling down. I think he's on some real cowboy shit, and he's like, no, you guys are trying to get rid of me. I'm not fucking going anywhere. I'm going to fight every one of these charges tooth and nail. I'm going to find more fucking loopholes to get ways to get these kids at IL and get shit that they deserve. And I'm not going anywhere. And I'm going to stay here and I'm going to win fucking championships and rub them in y'all faces. I think that's where he's at. I don't think now, can it be a scenario because one of my buddies ran the Bears by me? And I'm like, why the fuck would he want to go coach in Chicago? That place is a shit show. But Buffalo's a little bit different because everything there is already installed. You've already got all the good groceries. You just do the cooking. So I do think that would have more of a pulse. But my belief is I don't think he's leaving Michigan. I think he really wants to double down and really send a go fuck yourself to all the committees and fellow coaches within his division that got him suspended. I think he wants to really just rub it in their face.
He is a go fuck yourself kind of guy. That's why I have a lot of mad respect for Jim Harbaugh. Jim and John both. Like, I love both those guys. Like, I mean, look what John's done over in Baltimore. Look what Jim did with San Francisco. Look what he's done with his several coaching opportunities in college. Here's the thing though, man. Jim is not, he has failed to win a championship in either the pro or the college level. And I think Michigan gives him a good chance, but I think the Oregon Ducks beat Michigan in the college playoffs, because I think the Oregon Ducks are going to beat the Washington championship this year and go to the college football playoff. I think Bo Nix is going to win the Heisman, by the way. I'm just doing this. I am not even a Oregon homer, even though I do root for the Ducks.
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
I just think Bo Nix is the Heisman Trophy winner, and I think the Ducks have a hell of a shot at winning the Natty this year, because none of those other 4 teams are playing all that great football. I think Oregon's playing the best football in the country. Jim Harbaugh, if he fails to bring a championship to Michigan, and he has a job opportunity such as in Buffalo, if it was to come up, is a hard thing to pass. Josh Allen is a hard quarterback to pass up on coaching. That offense, the offensive line, by the way, rated top 3 in the NFL right now. Hard thing to pass up. Defensive line, top 5. Hard thing to pass up in the NFL to Jim Harbaugh. You can come in here. You can straighten that out. You can come win a Super Bowl in Buffalo. One of the best fan bases in the league. Win them a Super Bowl? Man, it's a hard thing, man. You'd be a superhero. They put a statue up of you in Buffalo. You get a fucking statue, Jim. Come on down, buddy. I'm waiting for you. Anyway, folks, that's it for my rant on Bill's Mafia Corner.
That was your pitch. Plus your pitch to Jim Harbaugh.
And my pitch to Jim Harbaugh. You got so much stuff from us. You got some pro wrestling stuff from us. You got some UFC stuff from us. You got some NFL stuff, betting odds, everything. Folks, go out there, win some money on us. Thank you very much. Go buy your kids something nice for Christmas, or maybe buy yourself something nice for Christmas. It's up to you what you do with the money you win. Folks, it's been a fun week. A lot of sports stuff going on. The football season is just getting started, baby, man. It's hot right now. We have so much more for you in the upcoming weeks. Shout outs to Variety Sports Network. They support us very heavy. Shout out to guys like Tyler and Brian and everybody else associated with Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. but Variety Sports in particular, because you'll find all of those podcasts and all the people I mentioned through that network. Follow them on X at @Variety_Sports_. We mentioned Justin Von Doom. He's one of our boys, longtime old school friend of the show and just friend in general. We love that guy. Shout out to him at Justin Von Doom. Follow Chef Shay Rollins. Just shout out to Shay, because Shay, we love you, man. I'm glad to see you a little bit more active on Twitter these days. Shout out to our boy, Rob Nakamura at JSpec, the host on X. He is a lover of MMA, like pure passion guy for the sport. If you love MMA and combat sports, please go give him a follow at JSpec, the host. Follow Jason at Valdez spelled backwards 559. Follow myself at JTT_81. And then follow the show at Team Toss 21. We're coming up on 1,000 follows. I'm pretty excited about that. Folks, hopefully you had an enjoyable Thanksgiving holiday. You ate yourself silly. Please, like Jay said in the beginning of the show, throw the leftovers away. They're done. Stick a fork in them and move on. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. We're out.